internet trolls who subject victims to vile abuse online are to be jailed for up to 2 years under a government crackdown. Joining me to discuss this, Katie Hopkins, no stranger herself to controversial tweeting. Morning to you, Katie.
Good morning.
It's you. And the commentator, Kate Smurthwaite. Good morning to you, Kate.
Morning, Stephen. How
are
you?
Good morning, good morning. Now, you take an interesting slant on this, Katie, because there are people who have been threatened, people whose children have been threatened, for goodness sake, with harm on Twitter, and you think that this is a storm in a teacup.
That's right. I mean, and that would include myself. So, you know, only yesterday I had a tweet that said, I'm going to hold you down so you can watch while I murder your children. And that's not unusual for me. But how I feel about this is, you know, it's really important that people do have some kind of forum where they get to express how they feel. Now, clearly, some people express that very poorly. Some people lack the vocabulary to put together something witty and go for that option instead, which is a little bit off. But I don't think it's time we brought the state in to try and stop people.
Even when people are threatening violence. Even when people are threatening violence to kill people, to harm people, to rape people.
Yes, Stephen, because, you know, ultimately, are those people sat at the end of my drive with a machete waiting to take my head off as they threaten? No, they're not. They're sat in their mum's house because they still will live with their mum at 42. You know, they floss their teeth with their toenails. They eat their own earwax. It's those sorts of men and women that don't get out much, have very sad lives, and are kind of the keyboard warriors of the place. And have our police force got much better things to do than trot about and worry about what some people are writing online to some other sad people who are so vain they have to preoccupy themselves with what someone is saying about them? You know, so my advice to you, if you don't like what you read, get off Twitter. If you can't handle it, man up. But if you take offence, then you've made the wrong choices in life. I always say, I don't give offence. You chose to take it, and you're making poor decisions.
Kit?
Well, I take great exception to that sort of thing. I mean, first of all, the idea that you can just get off of Twitter or get away from the abuse. You know, I've had abuse on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube. I've had messages sent to my phone. I've had people ring my landline at home. I would have to live in a cave to get away from internet abuse. So I don't think and we've got to bear in mind as well that to say just get off Twitter, I mean, a lot of the work that I do is online. If I write articles, you know, I would say probably a third of my income comes from work that is exclusively online. So I would be stepping away from my job. It's not realistic to do that. And, you know, yes, of course, if you don't want to report these things, if you think, well, you know what, I'm not taking this seriously, I don't feel really threatened, then absolutely you're free to not report these things. But I think we've got to bear in mind that some people are very seriously affected by it, and we've certainly seen people committing suicide as a result of the bullying that they've received on the internet.
And that's why, Katie Hopkins, you've got to take it seriously.
I think when people do step forward, they should be commended for doing so, because it is a hassle, it is a faff, and you do get this sort of unpleasant reaction from people like Katie Hopkins. You've got to step up, and sometimes it does the world a good service to be responsible for what's going on. And
always this attitude, this is the attitude that really does my head, and it's the martyrdom of the feminists, isn't it? It's the whole menstrual mafia, of which some women seem to be the dons of. You know, it's all the victim mentality, it's all that, oh, someone needs to step up. No, you don't. And, you know, look, half of my life is online and stuff that I do online as well. But you'd really have to say, look, if I live my life online, sure, some of what I read is going to be a little bit tough. But we do have to step up to the plate. And I also think we
if
need
someone
to
came up to you in the street
between online and what isn't off online.
What utter nonsense, Katie. If someone came up to you in the street and threatened to hit you,
very
threatened to
Stephen.
Kill your children.
Very different, Stephen.
That's not different.
That's not trolling. That's someone coming up to you and threatening you in the street. Very different. Don't confuse what a troll is. I'm less worried about trolls, frankly, than the miserable old goats that are stepping across my bridge right now. So I don't think we
stepping
should confuse
your
trolls.
Bridge.
I'm really sick of people complaining, because what we're going to end up with is a situation like North Korea, a situation like China, where we have the state intervening in everything, where no one can talk, where freedom of speech is curtailed, and everybody has jumped on the offence.
But it's not freedom of speech. Nobody is curtailing freedom of speech.
You are promoting
letting people
express freedom of speech.
Things that they want to express, and letting people dish out rape and death threats.
Why don't you toughen up, love, to be honest?
And I'm unsurprised that you can't see the difference, because a lot of the stuff that you write is straight-up hate.
Do not,
Katie. The reality is that for the rest of us, we all don't want to live in that world.
do not suggest anything I have ever written is threatening. Be very clear.
No, I said it was hate speech, Katie. I said it was hate speech. Do you deny that large parts of the things that you write online are hate speech?
Truth.
In fact, you've said something only a few moments ago, accusing me of being playing the victim, the menstrual mafia, all that unpleasant stuff. That is hate speech, because all I've come on to say is my view on the experiences that I've had.
You sound like your typical Guardian reader, sat on 24 Guardians, knitting yogurt, basket weaving your own shoes. It's this kind of mentality that is closing down freedom of speech.
You're just dishing out abuse, aren't you? You're not making any interesting points. You're not saying, here's why this should or shouldn't happen. You immediately launch into ad hominem attacks because you haven't got anything worth saying, and you're only jumping on saying these ridiculous things because you like having your face in the media.
That's not true. We're a little bit. My concern is everybody is on the outrage bus these days. Put your hands up if
you're
on the
outrage bus because you're outraged that too many people are on the outrage bus. If you don't want to be a part of the outrage bus, if you don't think people have a right to complain when they are the victims of serious crime,
give me the word
get off the airwaves and go and do something more useful with your lives. What is the point of spending your time telling other people
Kitty,
if someone were to get a death threat in the Post, you know, there hasn't been a physical encounter, but I'm just thinking in the context of Northern Ireland here,
sure.
You know, people do get death threats. They get bullets in the Post. Your logic seems to be that unless someone actually comes up to you in the street and hits you or threatens to hit you, it's not a real threat. Nonsense.
Stephen, to be fair, you're really muddying the waters.
No, I'm not.
We are, because this debate is about a 2-year sentence for people that are on Twitter or
Hold on, Kitty.
This is not what others were saying, but I suppose that would be far too much to expect.
Go on, Kitty.
This is not about people coming to your home and posting things through your letterbox, because clearly that would be frightening. That would be intimidating. This law that Chris Grayling's talking about applies specifically and solely to social media online. So do not, Stephen, muddy the waters for your listeners, because I think it's very unhelpful. Online, on Twitter, you do have options. And one of those options is to step away from Twitter.
So I was talking to someone last night. As you well know, who had their identity stolen. They were portrayed as a paedophile. They were portrayed as a rapist, when indeed they were an innocent member of society.
And
the trolls went after them.
First, what did that person?
They went to the police.
They went on to forums. They made comments.
But they went on.
Attracted some kind of abuse.
But they went to the police, and you objected to them going to the police, and they were being portrayed as a paedophile.
Do you know what? If I joined up to the Boys in Blue, I would not expect to waste my time spending days trying to solve the problem of people that brought down abuse on themselves. If I was one of the Boys in Blue, I'd be out trying to solve proper crimes for proper people who are properly afraid. And that
Stay
would
there.
Include small old ladies in the street.
Stay
that
there.
Frightened.
Right, let's speak to Jim Gamble, who is the former head of CEOP, the Child Online Exploitation. What's the proper title, Jim?
Child Exploitation Online Protection Centre.
There we go. What do you make of what Katie said this morning?
Well, you know, Katie's entitled to her opinion, and I think she's right to defend free speech. Where I disagree with her is, you know, people like her and I, who receive lots of abuse online from, you know, quite frankly, on occasions, idiots, aren't who this is about. It's about the vulnerable. Would Katie suggest that the 9 young people who were bullied online, you know, and I'm sure offline to a degree within Ask FM, who went on to take their own lives, is that something that just happens online? The consequences of bullying people who are already perhaps isolated, who have self-esteem issues. You know, the fact is, in this world, people live and they engage with social media. Even those who don't engage with social media, you know, suffer the fallout from it, because the traditional media will pick up the themes and patterns. And what's going on here is, simply creating a law is no good. We need to apply the laws that we currently have. So in those cases where people go beyond, you know, the limits of free speech, some need to be held to account. And once we have some people held to account, then we'll at least have a deterrence to point to. And as to the boys, it's actually the boys and girls in blue, Katie. As to those of us that spent 30 years in the police service, let me tell you, we need to occupy this online space because it's another public place. We need to capitalise on the opportunities it presents to better protect people, to better inform people. So if you're a police officer today and you don't think your beat covers that online environment, then you know what? You're going to be next to useless in the next 10 years.
Kitty?
Well, naturally, I would always respect someone's opinion from the law, but I would also see that, you know, last month we had a survey that says police have no longer got the time to attend garage break-ins and nor car theft, nor car break-ins. And I absolutely feel some kind of, you know, I feel sorry for the police in the sense that they are so overworked and undermanned that they cannot turn up to those type of situations. Because I know from a homeowner's perspective, if you call the police, it's so reassuring when a police does turn up when you've had your garage broken in or your house broken into. So I think our police are overstretched. And I think it is really important that we help to teach our young people how to toughen up. And I think I do a pretty good job of that. You know, I have, you know, quite a large following from very young people. And what they see me do with abuse is retweet it. I put it right back up out there. And I say, do you know what? I get this stuff. And I don't give a monkey's because...
But the point is, you don't give a monkey's, but some people do who are not as tough, who are vulnerable.
Yeah, but I think calling yourself a victim is never a good situation because you're immediately putting yourself in the position of the weak. We're not victims. We can be strong.
Some people are weak. Some people suffer from mental health issues. Some people suffer because they're brutalized and isolated. The fact of the matter is you cannot make it so. You should not make that situation worse for them, you know, by saying the things you do.
Where you and I agree.
You have a substantial following on Twitter.
I do.
The opportunity to do good things, Kitty.
What I do, instead, which is what I've just told you I do. I show people how to stand up for themselves.
Hold on. Let's give Jim a chance.
You said, for example, you know, about the McCanns post the death of Brenda Leyland, which was tragic. How many more innocent people need to die because of the negligence of the McCanns? That is simply abhorrent. That pours fuel on the fire. I read it on your Twitter feed. I didn't respond to it because I did not want to pour more petrol.
Kitty, you'll want to respond to that.
I absolutely stand by that tweet about the McCanns, and the support I've received for that tweet has been beyond what you would expect, because nobody, as you and I will know, the media has a complete blackout on talking about the McCann issue. And for me, that poor lady that died in that hotel room, she died because she was doorstepped by someone from Sky News, and she died because she was made to pay the price for speaking out about the McCanns. And I will stand up for Brenda because I support that lady.
Well, we don't know the whole details, do we? And it's not the place on a live radio program to start talking about the McCanns on a live radio program. I'm bringing it down. We're not talking about the McCanns.
A media whiteout, I detect.
Let's move away from the McCanns then, and let's talk about the Speaker's wife. Whenever by implication on Twitter, she suggested that a member of the House of Lords might be a paedophile, not by direct speech, but by implication. There was a consequence in law with regards to defamation. The bottom line is you need to think before you speak. You need to think before you tweet because you have the ability to do something very good.
As you will notice, Jim, I have never been prosecuted for any of my tweets because they've all been on the money. You know, for me, Jim, you cannot associate me with the Speaker's wife.
We do not listen. The fact is this. The Speaker's wife, it didn't even make a direct reference.
An outrageous
John Burke.
She made an indirect reference.
Wife we're talking
the bottom
about.
Line is there are people
Speaker's wife made an outrageous tweet.
Okay.
She accused someone of being horrible a paedophile.
And further isolate people. I believe that you further isolated people in what you said. I don't think you're a bad person. I think you're someone who sensationalizes issues to get onto the media.
I don't care if you think I'm a bad person or a good person.
There are people out there who care about the young and the vulnerable. There's people out there who care about suicide. There's people out there who...
I cared about the lady that died in the hotel room.
Okay, we are not talking about the McCann.
You care about what's said on Twitter if you care about that lady. You do care about the implications of what's said, because that directly links to Twitter, Kitty. You can't have your cake and eat it.
Jim, you are just talking over the top of me, Rob, and do not associate me with the Speaker's wife. She made an outrageous tweet. She accused someone by tone of voice of being a paedophile, and that is completely out of order. And
I thought you said last night when you and I were talking on Five Live that in a case where there was a completely separate case where there was a woman who had her identity stolen, Kitty, and she was then portrayed wrongly as a paedophile. just because people wanted to demean her, people wanted to isolate her, and you basically said, toughen up, get on with it, come off Twitter, what's it matter?
Absolutely, and I would totally stand by that. But if you're the Speaker's wife in this country and you're directing people towards someone as a paedophile, which was a very unfortunate reporting incident, she does deserve to face prosecution for that.
But why do we all not?
Compared to someone who's obviously a moronic idiot like Burkow, you know, she doesn't deserve her position. She has got it.
We're not talking about that case.
What she says.
Why don't we all deserve protection if we are targeted on social media?
Because it's really important, Stephen, that we maintain some platforms in life where people can use Twitter as 90% of people do, which is to enjoy a good debate, to put forward ideas, to discuss things, to have short, snappy conversations that matter. I love that. I welcome that. I celebrate that. And if someone doesn't stand up and protect our freedom of speech, who is going to? Because I see this place going more and more and more and more BBC by the moment, where we have to be balanced. We have to think about everything we say, and the state has to approve it before we're allowed to speak. And that is very wrong.
I don't think the state ever approves anything the BBC says or does. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, look, Kitty's right. We need to defend free speech. We need to be able to have robust debate. People need to be able to hold views that are actually offensive to some people. But where they become persistent, where they become relentless, where they target in...
We have laws for that already.
Hold on.
No, yeah, but we're not applying them, Katie. And therein lies the problem. And what we've got to do is, if you take the speed cameras off roads, if you take the speed limits off, everyone will speed and will say, well, it's too much, there's too many people. Because we know there's a consequence when you speed, because you know when you see the sign that there's a speed camera that you may be caught and may suffer it, you slow down. We need to introduce that concept into the online space, and that's not by prosecuting or persecuting everyone. It's by prosecuting the worst few so that the rest can achieve the balance that we want.
Does the Chief Constable of Northern Ireland, George Hamilton, does he need to do more, Jim?
Well, he does. I mean, all Chief Constables do. But the fact of the matter is this, there's a priority.
Well, what about specifically in Northern Ireland, though? What are the PSNI doing
Northern
enough?
Northern Ireland, well, let's wait and see. I mean, Rory McIlroy suffered the most horrendous abuse the other night on Twitter. Now, some of that, you know, is I think Rory McIlroy be water off a duck's back. Others where it becomes sectarian, you know, the equivalent of something becoming racist in England, or here for that matter of fact, we've seen it, then we need to see swift action by the police so that people aren't forced off Twitter who could go on and enjoy all the benefits.
Do you think the PSNI are taking it seriously enough?
I'm not sure is the truth. I'm simply not sure whether they are, but we will see in the weeks and months ahead, because Katie's right, resources in policing are being reduced. And that's why they need to mirror what's being done, for example, by the Isle of Man police. They have a thing called Tweetbeat. They patrol online.
Tweetbeat.
They'll let you know. They let you know. But listen, this is I know it's orange, but they actually will let you know when they're in that area. They'll let you know that they're carrying out speed traps. They'll let you know when they're responding or when they're looking for particular people. So it's their police patrol continuously tweets. And what that does is that joins up the online environment and the ability to communicate and share information with what's happening in the offline world. So
okay,
that's a good thing.
All right.
A lot of police forces should follow it.
Jim, thank you. Thank you. Kitty, nice to talk to you.